بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This is our 16th session from Book 1, Medina Book 1. And we should be completing today, Be'ezhan Ilahi Ta'ala, lesson number 9 and starting lesson number 10. Before we look at lesson number 10, we have a few exercises to complete. And before that, we just want to review quickly what we went over before the Salat. And if anybody has any questions about what we did in the last lesson, or any questions about any of the exercises that you did for homework. And I didn't send you a specific homework assignment this week. I did not send you a specific homework assignment this week. But I did send you a reminder to make sure you do your homework. And your homework is always, whether I say it or not, to write out the exercises we did in the class, in the last session. And to go ahead to what is remaining, to start doing the exercises that are remaining that we will do in the following class, to read the key, especially the grammatical points and the vocabulary, and to read the text, the dialogue, for the beginning of the new lesson. So hopefully, inshallah, you will have completed the exercises that are remaining from last week's lesson, number 9. Hopefully you finished the ones that we didn't finish. Hopefully you did that for homework. So we can just go through them quickly now. And then after that, inshallah, we can start the new lesson by reading the key and the vocabulary and the dialogue for lesson number 10. Inshallah, today we're going to start lesson number 10. Okay, so before we do that, I'm going to give you a chance to ask any questions. You had any problems with the homework? Did you have any problems with the homework? Inshallah, we can take some questions related to that. In addition to just a quick mention of what we talked about before the Salat, we said that in the last lesson, number 9, part A and part B, we dealt with what is called man'ut, which is a noun that's qualified by the adjective, and the not, which is the adjective itself, the adjective, the word that describes or qualifies another noun. Okay, so the man'ut comes first, and after it is followed by a not, the not that describes it, that qualifies it. Okay, like in this case here, we said ash-shajaratu al-kabiratu. This is the man'ut, the noun that's being qualified or described, the tree, and the word that is describing it or qualifying it, the adjective, is al-kabira. So you have ash-shajara, the tree, being described with what? Al-kabiratu, the big tree. Okay, so this is a qualifying word, an adjective is describing or qualifying ash-shajara. And we also said that the adjective, the not, it follows the man'ut in the sentence order, and it also follows it in these three matters: in gender, which means being masculine or feminine; in case ending, which means being marfu'un with dhamma, or majrurun with kasra, or mansubun with fatha; and in being definite or indefinite. These are three of the four rules related to not and man'ut. And we said the not follows the man'ut in the order of the sentence, and it also follows it in these three things. If the man'ut is masculine, then the not has to be masculine. If the man'ut is feminine, as in this case, ash-shajaratu is feminine, then the not describing it, al-kabiratu, has to be feminine. If the case ending or i'rab of the word is that it is the mubtada, and the mubtada is marfu'un, the sign that is marfu'un is dhamma. If it has dhamma, this also has to be marfu'un with dhamma. If it had kasra, then this would have to follow it and be kasra, and so on. Fatta, fatta. And the third thing, if the man'ut is definite, has alif lam, the tree, then the not describing it also has to be definite with alif lam. If it was indefinite with tanween, then the not describing it would also have to be indefinite with tanween. This is what we talked about before Salat, and this is what we talked about in the previous lesson, and that's mainly what the previous lesson was about, and the exercises we're dealing with. And hopefully if you have any question about it, you have a chance now to ask. You have a question? Mansoor. Oh, nakira means the word is indefinite. And ma'arifa means that a word is definite. Okay? You don't necessarily have to know those Arabic words, but it's good to know them, because in the future you will have to know them. So if you learn them now, alhamdulillah, you'll be ahead. Okay? When a word is definite, or indefinite, we say it is what? Ma'rifa or nakira. Ma'rifa or nakira. Tayyib. Any other question?
I have a problem with that exercise here.
Which exercise? What page and what number? Okay, page 52. Exercise number 2.
I did it, but I don't even know what
the algebra is. The exercise in general. Okay, on page 52, exercise number 2. That's the exercise that we're going to be doing now. That's the exercise that we had for homework, but we're going to do it in class now, okay? So I'll discuss it, inshallah, when we start doing exercise. I'll explain exactly what's required, what has to be done, and then we'll do them right now, orally, and then, inshallah, that will be part of your homework for next week, that you have to write them out, right? In addition to whatever else we may cover in the class today. Now, any other matter besides that? He's talking about the exercise. That's on page 52, which is exercise number 2. And we were up to that exercise. That would have been what we were going to do next when we start the class, okay? So we're going to deal with that, inshallah, when we come to it today. Any other question? Tayyib. Then, I encourage you to, you know, work a little harder. Work a little harder. Actually, we're doing fine, alhamdulillah. We're doing fine. We're going at a pretty good pace. I mean, some people would like to go a little bit slower, and some people would like to go a little bit faster. We're trying to go at a moderate pace, not too fast and not too slow. But we're doing well, alhamdulillah. We're not doing bad. We're doing well, alhamdulillah. That is, if you are grasping it. If there's a concept in the Arabic grammar that you don't understand, well, we've covered about 5 or 6 or 7 yani fundamental, very, very basic, important concepts. And any one of them that you don't understand, you can come and ask at any time. During the class, after the class, on another day, any time you can ask. What is idafa? What is pronouns? What are huruf jar, prepositions? What does this mean? Words that are definite and indefinite. What alif, lam, what tan mean? These are things that we dealt with previously, in previous lessons. But if there's something from them you don't understand, what do we mean by a word that is masculine or feminine? The word that ends with tarmabuta, that indicates that it's feminine. What do we mean by these things, okay? What about the ism ishara, hadha and hadhihi? What is the difference between hadha and hadhihi? Or thalika and tilka? These are things that we had previously in lesson 1 and 2, lesson 6 and 7. If there's something you don't understand from them, ask. It's no problem. Especially in the beginning of the class, before the salat, that's a good time to ask about anything. Sometimes we'll go over all of those points briefly in that period of time before the salat. And sometimes we'll just go over what we had in the last class. But you can ask about any of them at any time. Meaning, in the time of review, ask about whatever you want to ask about. Especially in the time of review before the salat. Otherwise, during the week. During the week, take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and go over any one of those rules from any one of those chapters. Tayyib. Okay, so let's do the exercise that are remaining, inshallah. Before we do the exercise number 2, I'll talk about it just briefly. First thing is the exercise itself on page 52. The exercise, you are supposed to know the meaning of the words in the instruction for the exercise. If you don't know the meaning of the words, then you can go back to the key and get the instruction in English. But it's better that you begin to try to learn the meaning of the words in the instructions, and that's part of learning the lesson. Sometimes the instructions are very simple, like Iqra, or Iqra waqtub, or something like this, which we know those words, alhamdulillah. Sometimes the instruction is a little more difficult. Sometimes the instruction is long, and it might have something tricky in it that we really can't understand. That's why I try to explain them with each exercise. Each exercise I try to explain what is required and explain the words word by word till you get familiar with the meaning of these words. Okay, exercise number 2 on page 52. It says, Imla fil faragi fima yali bin na'ati alladhi bayna qawsaini بعد تحليلته بألف لام عند اللزوم. What does that mean? إملا means fill in. في الفراغ, in the blanks. فراغ means blank or empty space. فيما يلي, in what follows. Fill in the blanks that follow. بنعتي, with a knot. What is a knot? Adjective. Put a knot in there. Adjective describing the word that's preceding it. بنعت. Which not should you use? Alladhi, the one which, bain al qawsaini, is between the parentheses. Ba'da, after doing what? Tahlilatihi bi alif lam. After adding to it alif lam, that makes a word definite. عند اللزوم, when it is necessary. Meaning, add the alif lam when it's necessary. If it's not necessary, don't add it. Just leave the word just like it is. When do you add the alif lam? When it's necessary. So when are you going to add alif lam to a word? The word that you have to use that's in the parenthesis is a not, right? And the not has to agree with the man'ut in these three things, right? One of them is definite and indefiniteness. So when are you going to add an alif lam? Naam, Ahmed. When the man'ut has alif lam, then the not has to have alif lam. So when you look at that word in the parenthesis, if the man'ut that is describing has alif lam, then you got to put alif lam on the not. If the man'ut that is describing, ya da'ud. If the man'ut does not have alif lam, then that not that you have in the parenthesis, don't put alif lam on it. Okay? So what you're looking at? You're looking at the man'ut. If the man'ut has alif lam, we're going to need an alif lam on the not. If the man'ut does not have alif lam, then we don't need a alif lam on the not. Okay? Tayyib. So again, what's the instruction? Fill in the blank spaces. And what follows? With an adjective, a not. The adjective that's between the parentheses at the end of the line, on the left hand end of the page. When you get to the end of the page, there's a word in parentheses. That's the not they want you to use. You don't have to make up one yourself. They give it to you. But all they want you to do is put alif lam on it when necessary. Otherwise, leave it the way it is. Okay? So they want you to put it in as a not, meaning it's going to be describing the man'ut. Okay, number one. Who take the first one? Yeah. Anybody on this side? Naam, Bilal. Should Jadid have alif lam or no alif lam? Okay. Al-Jadid, we have to put alif lam here. Why? Because it's describing al-mudarris. And al-mudarris has alif lam. It's ma'arifa. So we have to make the not that's describing it ma'arifa with alif lam. Aina al-mudarrisu al-jadidu. Meaning what? What does it mean, anybody? Where's the new teacher? Before you added the not, it was, where's the teacher? Now you want to describe the teacher, qualify the teacher. Which teacher? The new teacher. So it has to have alif lam because it's describing al-mudarris, which has alif lam. Okay, number two. Who wants it? Go ahead. Where you at? Okay, we're going to come back to you. Somebody else on this side. Go ahead. Najmuddin. Mm-hmm. Okay, he said, At-tajiru al-kabiru fi-s-suqi. Okay? Kabir, the word in parenthesis, does not have alif lam, but he add alif lam to it. Why? Because it's a not describing a man'ut that has alif lam. The man'ut is at-tajiru. Which kind of tajiru? Al-kabiru. So kabir has to have alif lam in order to agree with the man'ut that is describing. So he said, at-tajiru al-kabiru fi suqi. What does it mean?
The big merchant is in the market.
He's in the house. Huh? Fisuk. In the market.
Yeah,
I mean, it could be a house in the marketplace. They're selling in their house. Sometimes the ladies, they go to buy clothes in a sister's house. Huh? You know about that, right?
No?
You know a little bit about it. They be doing it out there where you live at, man. Out there where Masjid Ahl Quran wa Sunnah. Tayyib. At-tajiru al-kabiru fi-s-suqi. Tayyib. Number three. Mansur.
anna talibun qadimun.
Okay, read it again. Be careful of putting shadda on the first word.
Anna talibun qadimun.
Anna is with shadda, no shadda. Anna.
Anna.
Anna. Nope. Listen to the difference between anna and anna. Don't connect the first syllable to the second syllable. Don't say anna. Say a na anna. Go ahead.
Anna talibun qadimun.
Anna talibun qadimun. Now qadimun is the word, is the not in parenthesis, right?
No.
Shall we add, he didn't add alif lam because qadimun is describing which word? Talibun. And talibun doesn't have alif lam.
No.
So he doesn't need alif lam, so he just said anna talibun qadimun. What does that mean?
I am the old student.
I am the old student?
No, I'm the old. I'm the old student.
The.
I am a old student.
A old student. Okay, that's different. A. I am an old student.
Naam.
طيب. What's the difference between Anna and Anna? What's the difference between Anna and Anna? Who knows what's the difference? Huh?
The noon has a shadda.
And what's the difference in meaning between Anna and Anna? Anna means I am. Anna means that we. Anna. Anna with short vowel, anna means that. So anna means that we. So you have to be careful when you say anna, don't say anna. Because anna means that. And anna means that we. For example, in the adhan, a lot of people say, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. That means I bear witness that we are Muhammad the Messenger of Allah. Anna. No. And some people say, Ashhadu ana Muhammad Rasulullah. I bear witness that I am Muhammad the Messenger of Allah. Oh, that's wrong. Anna. You have to be careful you don't say ana when it's supposed to be anna. You have to be careful you don't say anna when it's supposed to be anna. Okay, because you change the meaning completely. Anna Muhammad Rasulullah. With shadda and a short vowel. Anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Not Anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Yeah. Okay, be careful. Tayyib. Number four. Ahmed had said it about three times already.
Jalas al Tabibu.
Yeah.
Jalas al Talibu.
Jalas al Talibu.
Jalas al Talibu al Jadidu.
Naam.
Khalfa Muhammad.
What's the vowel ending on Muhammad?
Muhammadun.
Khalfa. Remember the word after khalfa always has to take
kasra.
It's majroor. After khalfa and amama. We had that in the last lesson. Khalfa and amama. In front of and behind. The word after always is majroor. That's what we mean by i'rab. The case ending takes kasra because it's majroor. After khalfa and amama. Jalasa talibu jadidu. Jalasa at-talibu al-jadidu. He had alif lam. Why? Because at-talibu, the man'ut, has alif lam. So, jadid, if it's qualifying it as a na'at, it has to have alif lam. Jalasa at-talibu al-jadidu khalfa Muhammadin. What does it mean? The new student sat behind Muhammad. Okay, number five, Ibrahim.
Man al-walid al-tawil al-ladhi kharaja al-an min al-fasl.
Taib. Man al-walid al-tawil al-tawil. Now, man al-walid al-tawil al-ladhi kharaja al-an min al-fasl. Okay, man has sukoon, right? And alif lam has sukoon. When we have two sukoons, what we have to do?
Oh,
we have to put a vowel. You can't say men al-walad, you gotta say menil.
Menil-walad.
You have to put kasra on the noon instead of sukoon. من الولد من الولد من الولد الطويل الذي خرج الآن من الفصل. What does it mean?
Who is the tall boy?
Who is the
tall boy?
Who left now from the classroom? Who just left? Went out of the classroom. Now.
Who say من الولد الطويل الذي like that, right?
Again.
الطويل الذي.
الطويل. Oh, you join. You can join it. الطويل الذي. نعم. الطويل الذي. Because also طويل is followed by alif lam, right? Alif lam is hamza al wasl. Hamza al wasl means join what's before it to what's after, right? طويل الذي. طويل الذي والشدة عن اللام. نعم. من الولد الطويل الذي خرج الآن من الفصل. طيب. Number six. حنيف.
عمار ولد قاصر.
طيب. عمار ولد قصير. Okay. ولد is indefinite with تنوين. So the not describing it, قصير, remains indefinite, does not need alif lam. What does it mean? عمار ولد قصير.
عمار is small boy.
عمار
is
a short boy. نعم. What's the difference between short and small? Short is قصير and small is صغير. نعم. Number seven. Number seven. نعم. We come back this side. نعم.
فيصلون.
فيصلون.
فيصلون
طبيب شهير. فيصلون طبيب شهير. What does it mean? فيصل is a famous doctor. طبيب is indefinite. So شهير describing it is indefinite. To agree with the man'ut, the na'at has to be indefinite in this case. Five, number eight. Thamania. Number eight. Go ahead, Hanif.
لمن هذا السرير مكسور.
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 نعم. لمن هذا السرير المقصور. نعم. هذا السرير المقصور. What does it mean? لمن means what?
For who?
Or to whom does this belong? What? This? Broken bed. السرير is the bed. المقصور is broken. The broken bed. To whom belongs this broken bed? Number nine. تسع. نعم. صادق. مك
مكسور.
نعم. مكسور. هذا قلم مكسور. هذا is the مبتدا. قلم is the خبر. Subject and predicate. This is a pen. But then we add a not, right? مكسور. So it means this is what? A broken pen. نعم. قلم is indefinite. So مكسور has to be indefinite. نعم.
سكين.
الحاد والشد عن الدال. الحاد. أين السكين الحاد؟ What does it mean? Where's the sharp knife? أين السكين الحاد؟ نعم أحمد. What is it? You have a question or you wanted a question?
No, I think we want the next one.
Go ahead, go to the next one. لمن هذه السيارة
Al-Jamilatu. Why does Al-Jamila have to take Alif Lam here? As-Sayyara is definite. The not describing it has to also be definite. What does it mean? What does it mean?
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Naam. Beautiful what? Beautiful car. To whom belongs this beautiful car? Whose beautiful car is this? Liman hadhihi as-sayyaratu al-jamilatu. Okay, the last exercise is a very simple exercise, the reading exercise. Okay, iqra. Iqra means what? Read. But in this exercise, what we're expected to do here is to pay attention to which important concept here? What is it in this lesson? What does this lesson deal with? It just says read. Why are we reading? For what? Al-Ladhi. The Ism Mawsool. Al-Ism Al-Mawsool. Ism Mawsool is a relative pronoun. Relative pronoun. So Al-Ladhi is a pronoun. What kind of pronoun? Mawsool. Mawsool. Yeah, from wasala, to connect or to join. Wasala. Like Hamzatul Wasl. Same thing. Mawsool. It's the pronoun that's used for connecting. Okay, we have a sentence that's complete without it. But we want to add some more information. We want to connect some more information to it. And you have to use alladhi to connect the rest of that information to the rest of the sentence. Okay, it's a connecting pronoun. Relative pronoun. Okay, let's look at this sentence, the first sentence. Somebody read it first and then we'll explain it. Naam, Ibrahim. Indonesia. What's Indonesia?
Indonesia.
Type. At-talibul ladhi. At-talibul. No, remember that the word al-ladhi is written with hamzatul wasl. So that means you have to join that hamzatul wasl, what's before it, what's after it. So you don't say at-talibu al-ladhi. Say at-talibul ladhi. At-talibul ladhi. Kharaja min al-fasli. Naam. What does it mean? We have to figure out what it means first. The student who went out of the classroom, al-ana, who just went out of the classroom, is from Indonesia. Okay, listen to this, right? The mubtada in this sentence is a talibu. And the khabar of this sentence is, who knows what's the khabar of this sentence? The student is no. Al-Ladhi is the ism mawsool. And it is connecting this information. Kharaja min al-fasl al-an. That's the information that's connected by Al-Ladhi. The one who came out of the room just now. What about him? He's from Indonesia. Okay, the mubtada is a talib. Min Indonesia is the khabar. All the rest of that is extra information that's connected by Al-Ladhi. The student is from Indonesia. Which student? Al-Ladhi kharaja al-ana min al-fasli. Huh? Which student? Al-Ladhi kharaja min al-fasli. Kharaja al-ana min al-fasli. Or min al-fasli al-ana. Okay? So Al-Ladhi is the connector. It's a relative pronoun. It's connecting some other information to the mubtada. It's connecting it to the mubtada, giving us more information. It's not the khabar. It's only giving us some more information about the khabar. The khabar, about the mubtada. The khabar is what came at the end, after the relative pronoun and what's connected to it. Okay, so the sentence originally is At-talibu min Indonesia. That's the original sentence. That's the mubtada and the khabar. At-talibu is the mubtada, min Indonesia is the khabar. Al-ladhi kharaja min al-fasli al-an. That's all extra information. Okay, next sentence. Who read it? Next sentence, read. Go ahead.
Al-kitabu al-ladhi
ala al-maktabi.
Al-maktabi.
Uh-huh.
Lil-mudarrisi.
Okay, read it again.
الذي على
على المكتبي للمدرسي والشدة جيد with the شدة huh? Did you hear the شدة say that last word again
للمدرسي
okay للمدرسي نعم جيد okay الكتاب الذي على المكتبي للمدرسي okay الكتاب is the مبتدأ where's the خبر take it easy don't jump out there what is it للمدرسي that's the original sentence الكتاب للمدرسي the book belongs to the teacher that's a complete sentence right the book belongs to the teacher مبتدا and خبر extra information which book الذي على المكتبي الذي على المكتبي the book which is on the desk belongs to the teacher number 3 go ahead
لمن هذا القلم الجميل الذي على المكتب
نعم لمن هذا القلم الجميل الذي على المكتب okay this one is a little bit more difficult I don't want to make confusion here so we might just skip over this okay actually I'm going to help you with this one I'm going to tell you what is the khabar And then you tell me what's the mubtada, okay? The khabar is liman. Because this is a question word. That's why it's tricky. When you have a question word in a sentence, the question word is always going to come first. In Arabic we say, the ism istifham lahu sadara, aw laha sadara. That means the question word has the right to come first. That's why you always begin a sentence with ayu, limada, kaifa, men, okay? Aina, those are question words. You always have to begin the sentence with them. Okay? So in this case, liman is really going to be the khabar. Because when you answer the question, you're going to see where the khabar came. When you answer the question, that's when it's going to become clear. But for now, we'll leave that alone. Okay? Just tell me what's the khabar in this sentence. I mean, the mubtada. Hada. You can say it's hada al-qalamu, if you want to. Or you can say the mubtada is hada. And al-qalam is badal. And we had badal in lesson number... Eight. One lesson ago. 2 weeks ago we had it. Okay? Remember, whenever you have an ism ishara, hadha or hadhi or dhalika or tilka, followed by a noun with alif lam, that's badal, all the time. You have an ism ishara, followed by a noun with alif lam, that's badal. So hadha is really the mubtada. And badal, you could connect it to it because badal is connected to it, right? So you could say hadha al qalam is the mubtada. But in reality, hadha is the mubtada. And al-qalam is really badal. Okay? That's the really the badal. Okay, so what about هذا القلم? Al-jamil is what?
Al-jamil is
a knot for al-qalam. Which kind of qalam? Al-jamil. And then the rest of the sentence is extra information. Which beautiful pen? Al-ladhi ala al-maktab. Al-ladhi ala al-maktab. So now if you answered that question, liman. هذا القلم الجميل الذي على المكتب If you answer it, you will say القلم الجميل الذي على المكتب لي محمد or لي أحمد or لي عائشة or whoever it belongs to, right? So لي محمد جاء المجرور is the خبر القلم الجميل الذي على المكتب belongs to محمد belongs to محمد is the خبر هذا is the مبتدا القلم is بدل الجميل is not and then you have the rest of the information with the اسم موصول الذي على المكتب if you answer the question the مبتدا and the خبر will become clear لمن هذا القلم الجميل الذي على المكتب هذا القلم الجميل الذي على المكتب لي belongs to محمد that جاء المجرور right which is a shibah jumla is the khabar in this case when you answer the question the khabar becomes clear in the question when you have a question word like this لمن it's not clear what's the khabar but actually لمن the question word is the khabar in the sentence and it only becomes clear when you answer the question then you see لمن لمحمد That's the jawl majrur, that's the khabar of the sentence. Anyway, this is above where we are right now. Don't worry about it. Important thing here is alladhi. That's what we're really looking at in this sentence here. When we have question words in the beginning of a sentence, it really kind of makes the sentence a little difficult to work out. Okay, number four. Who read? Naam Sadiq.
Al-baytu al-kabiru alladhi fi dhalika
shari'a or shari'i?
Shari'i.
Lil-waziri. Okay, al-baytu al-kabiru alladhi fi dhalika shari'i lil-waziri. What does it mean? Al-baytu al-kabiru. The big house. الذي في ذلك الشارع, which is in that street, للوزيري, belongs to the minister in the government, the government minister, interior minister, foreign minister, oil minister, finance minister, the minister, right? Not the minister in the church. This is the minister in the government, wazir. البيت الكبير. البيت is the مبتدأ. Al-Kabir is a what? Not. And the Khabar is what?
It's Lil-Wazir.
So the original sentence is Al-Baytu Lil-Waziri. Or if you want to put the not on it, Al-Baytu Al-Kabiru Lil-Waziri. If you want to be more specific and use the Ism Mawsoola, you say Al-Baytu Al-Kabir Al-Ladhi Fi Dhalik Al-Shari. The one that is in that street belongs to the Wazir. Okay, number five, Ibrahim. في غرفتي
خالدين في غرفة تو خالدين
في is حرف جار. The noun after حرف جار has to be مجرور وكسرة. Doesn't matter. The mudaf, whenever you have mudaf, mudaf ilay, right? Gurfa Khalid, right? That's mudaf ilay, right? The room of Khalid. The mudafun, it can be majrur, marfu, it depends, it can be any one of them. It's the mudafun ilay that has to be kasra. As far as the mudafun, it could take dhamma, it could take fatah, it could take kasra, it depends on what's before it. There's a preposition before it. Preposition before it makes it has to be majrur. Can't be anything else except majrur. Can't be anything else except majrur. Tayyib, read it again. La bas. Laysa alayka shay. La bas. Jayyid. Listen to that. As-sariru alladhi fi ghurfati khalidin maksurun. Fi ghurfati Khalidin Maksurun. Right? Why is it Maksurun with Dhamma and Khalidin with Kasra? Huh? That's a question you want to ask, right? No, but you can't ask it. I already asked it. It's my question. So you have to answer it. Why is it that Khalidin is Majrur and Maksurun is Marfun?
Oh, I know why.
It's easy. Naam. Because Maksurun is the qabr of Sarir. It's not a not for Khalid. If it's a not for Khalid, it has to agree with Khalid, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a not for Khalid. The Khalid is mudaf ilay to Gurfa. Mm-hmm. And fi Gurfati Khalidin is all the extra information that comes with the relative pronoun, the ism mawsool, alladhi. Alladhi fi Gurfati Khalidin. All that's extra information. The mubtada is as-sariru, and maksurun is the khabar. As-sariru, maksurun. The bed is broken. Which bed? Alladhi fi ghurfati khalidin. That's extra information. Alladhi fi ghurfati khalidin. Fi is harf jar, right? Ghurfati has to be majrur. غرفتي خالد is مضافٌ مضافٌ إليه. خالد is مضافٌ إليه. The room of Khalid. That's مضاف مضاف إليه. مضاف إليه has to be مجرور. مضاف إليه is always مجرور. في غرفتي خالد. Is خبر of السرير. And the مبتدا and the خبر is always مرفون. مبتدا is always مرفون. خبر is always مرفون. مبتدا and خبر is always مرفون. مرفوع with ضمة. السرير مكسور. Which سرير؟ الذي في غرفتي. في غرفتي خالد مضاف مضاف إليه. This is basic 101 Arabic. We had this in lesson 5 and in lesson 4. Harf jar in lesson 4, mudaf ilayh in lesson 5. My dear brothers. Tayyib and sisters also. So probably the sisters got it all right though. Shh. Really? Sah? Tayyib. Okay, this is the end of the lesson, right? Look at the box. This box is to tell us that there's something important here, right? It's just reminding us of this important concept of the man'ut and the na'at. Man'utun is the first word. The na'atun is the word that follows it in the order of the sentence, and it follows it in these rules, being agreement in gender, in case ending, indefinite and indefiniteness. Okay, so you say baytun, jadidun. Bayt is indefinite with tanween. Jadidun is indefinite with tanween. Baytun is mudhakkar, masculine. Jadidun is mudhakkar, masculine. And baytun is marfoon with dhamma, so jadidun is marfoon with dhamma. As far as the kalimat al-jadida, this is the oral test. Don't look at your book. Just give me the meaning of the words in English. Al-mattabatu. Library or bookstore. Al-ana. Now. Al-mirwahatu. The fan. Al-mirwahatu. Al-mustawsafu. A clinic or a small hospital, al mustawsaf. Al madrasatu al thanawiyatu. High school or secondary school. Al waziru. Don't say reverend, please. Shahirun. Famous. Haddun.
Sharp.
Al sikkinu. Haddun. Had. Sharp. Sharp. Very sharp. Naam. Tayyib. Alhamdulillah. Moving right along. Okay. That's the end of lesson 9. So don't forget your homework. Write out the exercise that we did in class today. And if we complete any more, do them also. And then, inshallah, reread for homework the text and the grammatical rules for the next lesson, which is lesson number 10. And we're going to read it right now, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Lesson number 10. Okay, turn to lesson number 10, the key for lesson number 10. The key. Okay, the key is on page 25 in the English section of the book. Page 25. We have 9 points in the key to this lesson. We're going to go through them quickly. Hopefully you already read them. You previewed them for part of the homework. Because part of the homework is always go on what? To the next part of the lesson. So when we finish lesson 9, that means you go on to lesson number 10. Lesson number 10, the key and the dialogue. Inshallah. This is what we're going to do for the rest of this class today. We're going to read the key and we're going to read the dialogue. The key, brothers and sisters, is mandatory that you read it many times. If you read it many times, number one, you will improve your reading, your recognition of the Arabic words. You will improve your pronunciation when you're reading to be able to pronounce words correctly. You will also help yourself to remember the vocabulary words, because the more you see them, the more you'll be able to remember them. Some of the vocabulary words are from previous lessons, and some of them are new. The new ones you have to try to memorize. And also, when you read the dialogue 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 times, it also will help you in your comprehension, because when you read it the first time, you're going to miss some points. When you read it the second time, you're going to catch certain things. When you read it the third time, the concept that's being delivered in a sentence, the point that somebody's trying to express in that sentence, is going to become more clear to you. When you hear that sentence over and over and over again, it becomes easy for you to understand what's being said. Okay? So the more you read it, the better. And also, there's one more point. That when you read the dialogue over and over and over again, it equips you to be able to express yourself. Because these dialogues, these texts in the beginning of the lesson, are actually like conversations, or discussions, or expressions of thoughts about different things. So a person it will begin to be able to express themselves if they read the dialogue again and again and again, and actually memorize some of these expressions. Memorize some of these expressions. Like in the first lesson we have ma'hadha. If a person took this and used it every day, it would become easy for them to say, what is this? What is that? Okay, it would become easy. Ma'hadha, ma'hadihi, ma'dhalika, ma'tilka. هذا كتاب هذا هذه شجرة هذا بيت هذه سيارة. It will become easy. These are expressions that you can use every day. ما هذا؟ من هذا؟ هذا أخي هذا أحمد هذا إبراهيم هذا عبد الحكيم. من هذا الرجل الذي
خرج من المسجد؟
No, الذي نام قبل قليل. من هذا الرجل الذي نام في الفصل في المسجد قبل قليل؟
قبل قليل.
نعم هو كان ينام. اسمه عبد الحكيم.
نعم.
كان ينام أليس كذلك؟ ها؟ تعبان. نعم. تعبان. وكان تعبانا. Because why? Because he got up in the morning early and he made fajr in the masjid and then he went after sunrise to the basketball court, LIU, and played basketball all morning until Dhuhr time. And then he came to the class tired. Now, it's okay, he has a good excuse. He was busy worshiping in the morning and having a little bit of recreation. Labas, labas. Sa'atan wa sa'atan. What does that mean? A little bit of time for this, a little bit of time for that. Okay? A little bit of time for recreation, playing with your children, making a living. And the rest of the time is for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Hanzala radiallahu anhu. Naam. Okay, let's read. Key. Abdul Hakim, mashallah. Barakallah fi. Okay, lesson number 10, page 25. In this lesson we learn, number 1, the possessive pronouns. The possessive pronouns. For the first person, Anna, we have the possessive pronoun. E, like you say, kitabi. You say what? Kitabi. This means my. Kitabi. E here means my. Okay, that's one of the pronouns. Then we also have an addition to the E. We have what? We have ha. And we have hu. And we have kaf. So you could do the same thing with these pronouns. You could say what? Kitab. Kitabuha. Okay? For example, you can say what? Kitabuha. Or kitabuhu. Or kitabuka. Okay, these are pronouns. Possessive pronouns. That connect to nouns in order to show possession. Okay? The word kitab, if you add e to it, that means my, ana, kitabi. Huh? What does bayti mean?
My
house. Sayyarati.
My car.
Waladi. My son or my child. Naam. Alright? So these are the possessive pronouns that show possession. So far we have 4 of them. We'll have the rest later on as we go along. Okay, the possessive pronouns. E, ha, hu, and ka. Kitabuka, your book. Here, yours for masculine singular. Kitabuka. We will see later on. Kitabuki, for you, singular feminine. Kitabuka, masculine. Kitabuki. Kitabuka, masculine. Kitabuki, feminine. Okay? So, we have kitabuhu, his book. Kitabuha, her book. Kitabi, my book. These pronouns are not full-fledged words. They are like suffixes attached to the nouns. Okay, you attach these suffixes to the nouns. Okay? And when you attach it to the noun, it shows possession. Whose possession? Depends on which pronoun you use. If you use pronoun for the first person, singular, e, that means you're talking about yourself. The first person is yourself, right? Second person, When you're talking directly to somebody, if you're talking directly to an individual male, you say ka, kitabu ka. If you were talking to an individual female directly, you say kitabu ki. If you were talking to a third person, the third person, right, means the one you're speaking about. First person is the speaker. Second person, the one you're speaking directly to. Third person, the one you're speaking about. I'm speaking about him, or I'm speaking about her. If it's him, you say kitabu hu, his book. If it's her, you say kitabu ha, her book. Okay? So we have first person, second person, third person. First person is the speaker, mutakallim. Second person is the one you are speaking directly to, mukhatab. Third person is the one you're speaking about, the ghaib. And we also have mufrad and jam'. Mufrad means what? Singular. And jam' means what? Plural. Tayyib. These are pronouns. These are very simple. It's not much to it. It's just a matter of memorizing them. Number two, as we have seen, your book is kitabuka, and his book is kitabuhu. The word for father is abun, and for brother is akhun. But your brother is akhu. I'm sorry, the word for father, your brother is akhuka, and not akhuka. Now what's the difference here? We said, if you take the word kitab, you say kitabu hu, right? But if you want to say his brother, and the word for brother is akh, right? But you don't say akhuhu, but rather you have to add a waw, you have to say akhuhu. And the same thing for ab. You don't say abuhu, but you say abuhu. You have to add a waw. The reason why you have to add the waw is because there are certain words. Here they are saying four, but normally we say in Arabic language there are five particular nouns, al-asma' al-khamsa, five nouns that are special in Arabic. When you add a pronoun to them, or a noun in idafa, connected to them in idafa, you have to add waw. You have to add waw to it. Okay, these five words, special words. Today we have two of them, abun and akhun. When you add a pronoun to it in idafa, you have to elongate the vowel. That vowel, if it is dhamma, it becomes dhamma waw. If it was kasra, it will become kasra. How do you elongate kasra? Yeah. If it was fatta, how do you elongate fatta? Aleph. Okay. So, if the word akh was marfoon, you would say akhuhu. But what if it was majroon? If it was ila, instead of akhun, it would be akhin, right? So what if you were to say to his brother? Ila akhihi. Akhuhu akhihi akhahu. If it's fatta, you have to elongate it with aleph. Akhahu. If it's dhamma, you elongate it with dhamma. Akhuhu. If it's kasra, you elongate it with ya. Akhihi. Alright? So these two words, ab and akh, whenever you connect a pronoun to them, whether you're connecting hu or ha or ka, whenever you're connecting a pronoun to them, you have to elongate the vowel. Okay, if it's dhamma, you make it dhamma waw. If it was kasra, you make it kasra, yeah. Okay, so what did I say here? An extra waw has to be added between the mudaf and the mudafun ilay. Huh? An extra waw has to be added between the what? Mudafun and mudafun ilay. That means when it's in idafa. Make a note. When it's what? In idafa. Mudafun, mudafun ilay. In the same way, his father is not abuhu, but abuhu. Now, let's look at another construction here. We have the word ab and akh, right? So far we have shown it with pronouns, but what if it's with a noun, in idafa with a noun? Same rule applicable? Anytime it's in idafa, whether it's a pronoun or a regular noun, ism zahir, doesn't matter. Whenever it's in idafa, you're going to add a waw. So, for example, a regular word that's not from these five special words, like bait. If you have bait in Idafa, you say baitu Muhammadin, right? Baitu Muhammadin. But if you wanted to say, instead of Muhammad's house, you would say Muhammad's father, the father of Muhammad. Now you have Ab and you have Muhammad. But in Idafa, right, Ab has to be elongated. The Dhamma in Abun has to be elongated with waw. So you say Abu Muhammadin. Akhu Muhammadin. Okay, so anytime it's an idafa, whether it's a pronoun like hu or ha or ka, or whether it's a regular noun like Muhammad or whatever, you always have to add the waw when it's in idafa. Finally, my father and my brother have no extra waw. For example, abi and akhi have no extra waw. The nouns which take this extra waw when they are mudaf are four words. You have learned two and you will learn the other two in the future, inshallah. Okay, what I want to say here is this. The word, if you're saying my father, right, or you're saying my brother, abi or akhi, you don't add waw to it. Because the ya for my, right, the ya, this pronoun ya that represents the first person, ana, it always has to be preceded by a ya, by a kesra. The ya always has to be preceded by a kesra.
That's in my.
Yes, whenever you want to say my anything, whatever it is, the ya that represents ana, my something, right? That ya must be preceded by a kesra. It cannot be preceded by any vowel except kesra. Okay? So it's not going to be like abuka, akhuka, abaka, akhaka. Whenever you have ya, any other pronoun, it could take dhamma, it could take kasra, it could take fatta, any other pronoun. But the pronoun ya for ana is never going to take dhamma before it. It's never going to take fatta before it. It's always going to take kasra because ya must be preceded by kasra. Even if the word normally it should be marfu with dhamma, right? A word that normally should be marfu with dhamma, right? If you add ya for the first person ana, if you add ya to that word, that dhamma is lost. Even though it's marfu'un, the dhamma is lost. You're not going to get dhamma. Let me write on the board. Because I see a couple of puzzled expressions here. Hey, let's write on the board, right? For example, you have... let's make a simple sentence. Let's erase some of this, please. So we have some room. Okay. Let's say you have Baitu Muhammadin Kabirun. Baitu, right? Muhammadin Kabirun. Bait is the Mubtada, right? So it must take Dhamma. Is that correct? Muhammad is Mudawfan Ilay. So it must take Kasra. And Kabirun is the Khabar. So it must take Dhamma. Right? The Mubtada always takes Dhamma, right? Fayyid. So what if we said Ukhtu? Ukhtu. Ukhtu Muhammadin Kabiratun. Right? Ukhtu Muhammadin. Ukht is the Mubtada, right? Huh? Has to take Dhamma. Muhammad is Mudawfan Ilay. Has to take Kasra. Kabiratun is the Khabar. It has to take what? Dhamma. Taib? This has to take Dhamma. Why? Because it's the Mubtada. Because what? It's the Mubtada. What if we said Walad? Waladu Muhammadin Kabirun. Waladu Muhammadin. Walad is the Mubtada, right? Has to take Dhamma. Kabirun is the Khabar. Has to take Dhamma. Muhammad here is Mudawfun Ilayh, has to take Kasra, right? So far it's good? Is it good?
What do we mean here? The house of Muhammad is big. The sister of Muhammad is big, older, big in age. The son of Muhammad is big, maybe in size, not in age, probably. Unless Muhammad, he could be old, right? He could be 90 years old. His son could be 50. He's big, right? Old, right? Two, he's also old. Tayyib. What if now we want to use one of these special words? Huh? We're going to use one of these special words. Like? Abu Muhammad. It's Kabir. Abu Muhammadin is Kabirun, right? What does that mean? The father of Muhammad is big. Why is this taking Dhamma here? Because it's a Mubtada. This is a Mubtada. We said the Mubtada has to take Dhamma, right? So same thing, the Mubtada here has to take Dhamma. Why is it taking Wow? Because it's one of those special words, whenever it's in Idhafa, the father of Muhammad. Whenever it's in Idhafa, you have to add a Wow, right? Now we want to use another, we want to change it a little bit. Instead of saying the father of Muhammad, we want to say what? No, we want to say Abi Kabirun. Abi Kabirun. What does that mean? My father is big. Abi means it's showing possessing, right? Ya, the ya in Abi is the first person, ana. Yeah, it represents ana, but showing possession, right? So it's meaning the father of me. My father means the father of me. So it's in idhafa. But this word ab, right, is connected to the, it's ab, right, connected to ya, the father of me. We're connecting them together, the father of me. When you connect them together, right, you're adding Hamza and Ba to the Ya that represents the first person. The father of me is big. My father is big. What this is right here, Abi, is the same as if you said Ukhtuka. Ukhtuka. Waladuka. Means what? The sister of you. Your sister. Waladuka. The child of you. Your child. Okay? So this right here, Abi, is Ab, the father of me, my father. It's the same thing. It's a pronoun, I mean a noun and a pronoun being connected, but they're an idhafa. It's an idhafa. Literally, my father literally means in Arabic, it means the father of me. That means my father, the father of me. Okay? Now, Ab in this sentence here is the mudaf, and Ya is mudaf ilayh. Ab is mudaf and ya is mudaf ilayhi. The father of me. It's an idhafa construction. It's a noun and a pronoun connected together in idhafa. Ab in this sentence, the mudaf, the word that's mudaf, is the mubtada. And the khabar is kabirun. The khabar is marfoon. Is ab marfoon? Is ab the mubtada? Ab is the mubtada. It's the subject. And what are you saying about it? He's kabirun. Ab is the mubtada. Ab here in this sentence is the mubtada. Okay, ab. Ka, ya is mudafun ilayhi. And kabir is the khabar. Now ab here, it's marfoon. Because it's the mubtada. But when you add ya to it, ya must be preceded by kasra. Therefore, what happened to the dhamma? Put it in the trash. You have to get it out of there. Anytime you have a word that is originally marfu'un, but you connect ya to it, the vowel, doesn't matter what the vowel was before. The vowel could have been dhamma before, could have been fatha before, it could have been anything. Doesn't matter. Once you add this ya,
Ya must be preceded by kasra. The original vowel goes out the window. But that word is still marfu'an. It's still marfu'an, but the dhamma it won't show because ya must be preceded by kasra. Okay? So really, what they're really saying here in this note about abi or akhi, what they're really saying is that normally the vowel before the pronoun, whatever the pronoun is, whether it's ha or hu or ka, whatever pronoun it is, the vowel before it could be a dhamma, could be a fatha, could be a kasra. Except with ya al-mutakallim. Ya that represents ana, the vowel before it can never be anything except kasra. That's really all you have to remember. All you have to remember is what? Whenever you use the pronoun ya, ya that represents the first person, that you're saying, showing possession by me. This is my house, my child, my father, right? Whenever you use ya, it has to be preceded by kasra. Doesn't matter if it's marfu'un. Doesn't matter if it's mansubun. Doesn't matter what the vowel was before. The vowel has to be kasra. So don't be deceived and say that that word, abi, is majrurun because it has kasra. It has kasra because it's connected in idalfa to the pronoun for the first person, ya. That's why it has kasra. Not because it's marfu'un. Not because it's majrurun. It's not majrurun. It's actually marfu'un because it's the subject of the sentence, the mubtada, and originally it should have dhamma, but it's not allowed to take dhamma because it's connected to ya, al-mutakallim. Okay, ya that represents the first person. Whenever a noun is connected to it, whenever any noun is connected to it, that noun is going to have to take a kasra to be appropriate, to be suitable for the ya. Okay, that's the only way it can be read in Arabic. It has to be with a ya. Alright, so in this case, Abu, if you wanted to say the father of me, my father, it would become Abi. But it's still marfu'un though, even though you don't see the dhamma there. Alright, in any case, inshallah, we will see this in these pronouns, and we will see Ya al-Mutakallim in the future, a little bit more, and as we see it more, inshallah, hopefully it will stick with us. Okay, so this is the second point, and we only have a few minutes remaining. This is the second point, and we have a lot of points in this lesson. Hopefully we'll finish some of them. Number three. We have already learnt that the word enda meaning with. We have already learnt that the word enda means with. It is also used to convey the idea of to have. We had enda in the previous lesson, in one of the previous lessons. They said, where's the new teacher? Said, huwa عند المدير. عند means to be with. To be in the office with the مدير, right? That's one of the meanings of عند. Now we have another meaning of عند. And عند also means what? It conveys the idea to have something. عندك قلم. Is there with you a pen? Meaning, do you have a pen? Do you have a pen? This is the meaning of to have something. This is another meaning of عند. Literally it means, عندك قلم means, is there a pen with you? Do you have a pen with you? But in English we would say, do you have a pen? Okay, do you have a pen? Mm-hmm. Literally is there a pen with you? Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is just another meaning of the word inda. Sometimes it's used to show that somebody is anda fulan, he's with so and so. And here you might use it to mean, do you have something? Aindaka baytun, aindaka qalamun, aindaka whatever, so on and so forth. Yeah, Indi Sual. I have a question. Naam. Naam. Tayyib. Number four. We have already learned the preposition. By the way, on number seven, point number seven on the bottom of page 26 says ma. We want to go to ma right now while we're talking about inda. Ma means with. Ma means with. Remember, we said enda can mean with, right? Enda al-mudir. He's with the mudir. So ma also means with. To understand the difference between ma and inda, remember that if you say al-mudarrisu inda al-mudiri, the teacher is with the headmaster, it means that the teacher has gone to the headmaster's office and he is with him there in the office. Inda. But ma doesn't have this restriction. He can be with the headmaster anywhere. If you said al-mudarris ma al-mudir, there's no suggestion here that he's with him in his office. It just means that he's with him anywhere. This is the difference between inda and ma'a.
Anda has a restricted meaning. Ma is just general. With him, where? Anywhere. Note that the noun after ma has kasra ending. Meaning, the noun after ma is going to be majroor. You say ma al-mudiri. Okay, the word ma, the noun after is majroor. Okay, so that's the difference between anda and ma. Now let's go back from 7 back to 4. And here we're going to contrast between li and anda. Tayyib, number 4. We have already learned the preposition li before we had it, right? Like we said, alhamdu lillahi. The praise belongs to Allah, right? هذا القلم لي حامد. This pen is for or belongs to Hamid, right? We had this before. Li as a preposition means belonging to. When it is attached to the pronouns, it takes a fatta. If you attach it to kaf, you don't say lika for you or liha for her. Huh? You don't say lihu for him. When you attach it to these pronouns, hu and ha and ka, the li here, the kasra of the li becomes fatta. Instead of saying lihu, you say lahu. Instead of saying liha, you say laha. Instead of saying lika, you say laka. Ahad al qalam laka, not lika, you say laka. When it's attached to the pronouns, then you're going to change the vowel from kasra to fatta. Unless if you're saying for me. For me. Because why? Because me is ya. And ya has to always be preceded by what? Kasra. So the kasra remains with ya alone. With the rest of the pronouns, lahu, lahum, lakum, it's always going to be fatta. Except with li. And the reason why it remains li, when you say talking about yourself, for me, is because the pronoun ya, for the first person, ana, always has to be preceded by kasra. Okay, so this is just a reading point, okay, that when you write this word, the preposition li, when you connect it to pronouns, you're going to change the vowel from fatta, from kasra to fatta. When it's attached to pronouns, it takes fatta. You say laka belongs to you, lahu belongs to him, laha belongs to her. But li belongs to me has kasra. Why does it have kasra? Because ya always has to be preceded by kasra. Note, li akhun means I have a brother. Literally, a brother belongs to me. Literally, a brother belongs to me. Li thamun means with. I have a mouth. Literally, a mouth belongs to me. Li thamun means literally what? I have a mouth. Literally means a mouth belongs to me. But we will say, I have a mouth. Here, what's the point we want to make here? We want to make a point, the difference between li and indi. Difference between li and indi. Because li means I have, right? And we said one of the meanings of enda also means to have something, right? A'indaka qalamun, do you have a pen? But what's the difference between using enda, a'indaka qalamun, or alaka qalamun? Alaka qalamun, a'indaka qalamun. Can we use both of these in this case? No. Anda is used in a certain place and li is used in a different manner. Okay? It says here, li akhun means I have a brother. Literally, a brother belongs to me. Li famun, I have a mouth. Literally, a mouth belongs to me. It is wrong to say, indi akhun, indi famun, because anda is used with things that are separable. Anda is used with things that are separable. And relations with people and parts of the body are not of this nature. Parts of the body are not separable. Your mouth, it stays with you. Your eyes stay with you. Your ears stay with you. So the parts of the body and relations with people, a brother, a sister, a father, a mother, we don't use it in this way, okay? So what we're saying here, what? That anda is used with things which are separable. And relations, like a brother or sister or mother or father, and parts of the body, a mouth, a nose, and ears, are not of this nature. So you don't use enda when you're saying indi akhun. You don't say indi abun. You say li akhun. Li abun. Anyway, you have to pay attention to this, because the meanings in translation will be the same, but in Arabic usage, you can't use them interchangeably in this kind of case. Okay, so pay attention to the meaning of li and the meaning of anda when you're using them for the meaning of with. Do you have with you? I have something. Okay? I have a brother. I have a pen. You don't use them the same way. Okay, number five. We have learned ذهب. He went. Now we learn ذهبت. يعني أنت ذهبت. You went. Or ذهبت. أنا ذهبت. I went. Okay, these are conjugations of the verb. For example, أذهبت إلى المدرسة اليوم. Did you go to school today? أذهبت. This is a form of the verb. In the conjugation of the verb ذهب, you say أنت ذهبت. أنا ذهبت. نعم ذهبت. Yes, I went. Okay. This point number five is what? Is the use of the conjugation of verbs. Okay, we have to begin to learn the conjugation of verbs. We had ذهب and ذهبت, right? He went, she went. خرج, خرجت. He went out, she went out. We had a few verbs. We had جلس, جلست. Now we'll see how do you say أنت. You, when you speak directly to someone, how do you say you went out? Okay? He went out, ذهب. You went out, ذهبت. Okay? I went out, ذهبت. Okay? So, two represents the first person. You say, جلست, I sat. شربت, I drank. أكلت, I ate. كتبت, I wrote. قرأت, I read. Two represents the first person. Ta represents the second person, masculine singular. قرأت, you read. كتبت, you wrote, and so on. So this is just conjugation of the verb, and inshallah we'll go on with all the conjugations of the verb as we go along. So point number six, we have learned that feminine proper nouns have no tanween, like Maryamu and Aminatu. They have no tanween. Feminine proper nouns, names of females, do not have tanween. Likewise, masculine proper nouns with tamabuta ending have no tanween. So what are we saying here? The feminine proper nouns do not take tanween. Masculine proper nouns do take tanween, unless it's a masculine proper noun that ends with the feminine ending. What's the feminine ending? Tamabuta. So for example, a masculine proper noun like Muhammad takes tanween. Mahmud takes tanween. Okay? But a masculine proper noun that ends with tamabuta, like Muawiyah, does not take tanween. Why? Because it has feminine ending, tamabuta. So these names like Muawiyatu, Usamatu, Hamzatu, and so on, even though they are masculine proper nouns, which normally should take tanween because they end with tamabuta, they do not take tanween. Okay, last 2 points quickly. Biljamiati, number 8 on page number 27. We already did number 7, point number 7, this point number 8. Biljamiati at the university. Be here, connected to Aljamia, which means university. Be is a preposition, meaning at or in. Note that Aljamiatu al-Islamiyatu means the Islamic university. Bilmadinatil al-Munawwarati, Bilmadina means the Islamic university at Medina al-Munawwara. Be here means at. It can mean in also, but in this case we translate it as at. Okay, so another word for in, we could say fi, right? But here we have another preposition that could be used for the same meaning, and that is be. Naam. Naam, fadl. Okay, last point in this lesson. In lesson one, we have learned that ma means what, right? We say ma hadha. What is this? This word is also used as a negative particle. So, ma indi sayaratun means I don't have a car, or I have no car. Ma has many meanings. The first meaning of ma that we have taken is what? It means what? Ma hadha. Ma dhalika. Huh? Another meaning of ma is the negative particle. Particle of negation. Wa alaykum salam. Means that if you want to say, you want to negate something, you say, عندي قلم. I have a pen, right? ما عندي قلم. I do not have a pen. ذهبت إلى المسجد. ذهبت. I went to the masjid. ما ذهبت. I did not go to the masjid. So ما is used as a particle of negation as well as استفهام, asking a question. So now we have two meanings for ما, and later on we will get ما تعجب. We will get ما مصدرية. And we'll get ma al-mawsoola. And we'll get other different types of ma. has different meanings for ma. Okay? But now we have two. Ma meaning what? And ma meaning negation. Okay, inshallah, we'll stop here. Somebody remind me next week, inshallah, to go over the vocabulary. And meanwhile, you should try to start memorizing the vocabulary. Read the key. Please read the key to lesson number 10 carefully. All these points, all 8 or 9 of them. And for homework, read the dialogue in the beginning of lesson number 10, Arabic dialogue. Read it at least a couple of times, inshallah, as many times as possible. Listen to the audio file for lesson number 10. Listen to the audio file. Try to see if you can understand what's being said without looking at the book. Listen to it while looking at the book, and listen to it without looking at the book. And see if you can try to understand what you hear without seeing the words. Tayyib, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Now.